The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to March 2006.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their special guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have a smaller faculty with us in oh so many ways. So let me introduce them to you.
You're smaller, Jerry.
Well, I should say, not as large of a panel, number of panel members with us. Let me make, yes, see. You'll have to, you have to forgive us all. It is the day before spring break.
Yes.
And I think that everyone has just kind of reached that point where if it wasn't spring break, we'd be broke, okay? Just time for a rest. So, to my left, from the Department of Philosophy, the person who's got 80 papers on Socrates to read this week during spring break is Professor Beth Oldjoy.
I brought it on myself. Saw Walk the Line last night. We rented it. And I want to see it again. It's totally awesome.
Okay, I'll go.
It's an amazing movie. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. And the thing that bothers me is it doesn't carry forward enough through the whole career. You know,
that's true. It's definitely
that's the thing
focused
that kind
on
of
the early.
Bothered me a little bit.
And where does it stop then?
When they finally get married.
Oh, okay.
So actually still like 1970s, late 60s, early 70s.
Now that is the voice of our media maven from the Department of Communication Studies, Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
It's wonderful to be here in the neighborhood.
You know? I'm sure it is. And do you have a lot of heavy-duty grading over the break?
Well, I don't have any Socrates, but I have a bunch of VizCom. I got everything else done. I think I have a little bit of audio production. So I'm in fairly good shape. I just wrote the midterm exam, which is late, when they come back from spring break for ethic. So, and I've got the other. So I'm pretty well.
Anytime you say it's midterm, Jer, it's midterm.
Yeah.
Now, those dulcet tones come from our visiting professor today, junior faculty member, Dylan Kurtzinger. Hey, Dylan.
Hi.
Hi, we're glad you could be with us. I think we've got some pretty cool questions, so I hope we can hook you up.
Okay.
Indeed.
The best that Hague Elementary has to offer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Then that's okay. That's fine. This is a show where you can send us questions on Socrates, on media ethics, on Hague Elementary, on whatever you'd like. If you stump the panel, and if you don't stump the panel, you still win. So, hey, what you got to lose?
Literally nothing.
And guess something.
Wasn't it a song by Kiss? You got nothing
I think
to lose.
It was. Probably.
Yeah. Nothing to lose?
Yeah, I think so. It was on the first album. The one with those great songs like Cold Gin. And
songs like that. Detroit Rock City is a great song.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're going to pick up where we left off last time, which was finishing some questions on the history of the hot dog. And you guys were doing pretty well, actually. Your dog history. Rurf. But these are hot dogs. Okay.
Okay, Dylan, you used to eat a lot of hot dogs.
You like dogs?
No, but I...
Tube steaks?
No, but sometimes... I was just watching the Food Network, something about the history of hot dogs. I can't remember.
But you watch the Food Network? See, Beth and I love the
Food
Network. We are at Food Network.
We watch it. Mom watches
it.
She's addicted to.
I am so into that program. I love that. I do like her 30-minute meals.
A lot of those meals, I think about half of them, you can't really cook them.
Well, Beth actually heard an interview with The Rage.
She confessed that when she's at home, they take 45 minutes because she's rocking out to the Foo Fighters. And I'm like, that's my girl.
That's my girl. But her $40 a
We've
day.
We've got a couple cookbooks from her, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Rachel is a goddess of cookery.
But she's going to be ruined by the Oprah syndrome now that she's going to go.
Think?
Yeah, I think she's going to be too overexposed. I think is what's going to happen.
But we both love Rach because Rach has got junk in her trunk. You know that sister girl eats what she makes, and we love her for it.
And she's not a food snob.
Thank you. I really like her.
Although I love Emerald, too. Let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah, bam.
Well, I had a student 1 year in VizCom about 10 years ago. She said that she had been she was a chef. She'd gone to culinary school.
Oh, wow.
And she said basically his technique sucks. His traditional taste. I mean, he's funny and everything,
but
people who are real chefs kind of like, they kind of like,
That's what Rachel Ray gets hit with, too.
You know, and it's kind of like, the one I like the best is Tony Bourdain when he rags on Bobby Flay. That's just the best.
Fighting on the Food Network. Well, this is, as I say, about tube steaks, but the history of the mighty tube steak here in the United States.
So, who else is thinking of the song by ZZ Top?
Yeah, I know. We don't want to go there. By 1893... Sausages became part of the standard fare at baseball parks. In what American city were the first sausages served as
Chicago?
A snack item? Good guess, you know, because a city that had a good-sized German immigration and known for its beer.
Well, Milwaukee, it'd have to be.
Not Milwaukee. Yeah. One other spot here along Mississippi.
I keep thinking Pittsburgh. I'm just going crazy.
Think Clydesdales.
Oh, St. Louis.
St. Louis. Oh, that's okay. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a St. Louis bar owner, a man named Chris von Dehay, whoa, who was a German immigrant who also owned the St. Louis Browns Major League Baseball team.
The only midget played for St. Louis Browns.
That's right. Yeah. So that's when they started doing the sausage thing.
Okay. Schnassage.
Sausages, yes. I know that they make those now, those little items for dogs. What were those pigs in a blanket, little treats?
Schnossages. They call them schnossages.
Yeah, that's just but
I just always thought that was really funny.
We used to give the Bozo the Wonder Dog. He just, like, vacuum them, you know.
Your dog did that? Like the sausages?
Yeah.
Aw. Hey.
Schnossage.
There will be sausages in dog heaven. There must be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many hot dog historians...
There are such things. Where are they on campus? They're here somewhere.
Listen. When we had an opening in the history department a few years back, somebody actually had done their dissertation on the history of swimming pools in the United States as a social marker of backdoor outdoor swimming pools for your backyard.
It's more logical than some of these things I've read. You know.
But we were kind of
like a sociology dissertation.
Thank you. Yeah, but really. We were all a little kind of nonplussed by it. But there it was. You know.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I think Edwin, I would like to see what Edwin has.
Well, many hot dog historians chafe at the suggestion that today's hot dog on a bun was introduced during the St. Louis, that is the Louisiana Purchase Exposition of 1904. The story that they explain that this came earlier. Why was the hot dog bun invented?
The dogs were slippery.
I'm actually going to go with that.
What?
Yeah, without
so
utensils,
you can hang on?
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to carry it around?
Well,
make it portable.
There you go. Because
has ketchup and mustard invented before that?
Oh, yeah, hon. That was definitely
then
down
if you put
there.
Too much ketchup and mustard on it, could leave.
There was a man from Bavaria, who ran a concession prior to the 1904 exposition. And he used to loan gloves to the patrons to hold their piping hot sausages to be able to eat them or carry them about. The problem was that he noted that most of his gloves were not returned.
What a surprise.
That people just took off with the white gloves. So he decided what he would do is he talked to his brother-in-law, who was a baker. And this brother-in-law improvised this long, soft kind of piece of bread, which basically must be the hot dog bun invention, I would think.
Very clever.
Well, the weird thing is, like, you go to Germany, and it's not a hot dog bun. It's a round roll.
Yes,
so it's still hanging out all over the place anyway.
Right. But they make such good bread over in Germany now. That bread rocks. So, that's what he notes here, that many people still claim this is not the original because the recipe and practice handed down by German immigrants was a hard roll.
Yeah.
Which is yummier.
I was going to say, I bet. To me. You know, homemade.
I like bread of substance myself.
Now, again, most places refer to them as Frankfurters, not as hot dog. Mm-hmm. But New York City claims that it was the place that coined the expression for hot dogs and that it happened at the New York Polo Grounds, which, of course, now sadly long, long gone. But how do they believe that this happened, that they were referred to then as hot dogs?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. The Polo Ground. Good for you, Del.
New York Giants play there, Del.
Yeah, except they're no longer there, just like the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Melot hit like 510 home runs or something like that into that short and 290 feet.
Lots of dachshunds hanging around. And
well, okay.
Does that have something to do with dachshunds?
It does, okay. That some of the vendors at the Polo Grounds carried hot dogs around in a portable hot water tank to keep the meat warm. And so they started saying, these are hot, they're red hot, get your dachshund dogs while they're red hot.
Ah.
So there was a New York Journal sports cartoonist, a guy named Tad Dorgan, who he wasn't sure how to spell dachshund. So he just wrote the word hot dog down because he wasn't sure how to do it. And then he created a cartoon of the vendors and that underneath it wrote hot dog.
Well, yeah, a lot of them, they just go red hots.
Red, red hots. I've heard that like, expression.
And
again,
I don't know what you
time.
Guys think with the guy that sings at Comerica Park. Shut up, dude.
I know. Damn. Yeah, the singing vendor thing is just a little much that way. Yeah. However, again, other culinary historians point to a college magazine at Yale in the fall of 1894 when dog wagons sold hot dogs to dormitory students.
Wow. So it's a fight over...
So I think it's a fight between Yale and Brooklyn as to who did the dog. But, you know, that's...
I'd bet on Brooklyn.
I was going to say, I'd go with Brooklyn any day of the week. Now, I'm going to ask the next one, which is a little more difficult, but to name the top 10 hot dog eating American cities in the U.S.
It's got to be Milwaukee's got to be in there.
No, I am really shocked.
New
Chicago
York.
Is, yeah.
New York.
York comes in first place, yes, and then Chicago.
Pittsburgh?
No, yeah. Like all the towns that I thought would be doing dogs. What did you say? New Orleans, yep.
New Orleans.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles is number two.
Now San this, Francisco? No, that wouldn't.
Yes, actually, yeah. They're down there. Well, San Francisco, Oakland, so they're. Okay. I think this isn't just by city. This looks more like kind of regionally or something. I'm very surprised about this that ranks number three because...
Boston, how about Philadelphia or something like that?
No, think of a place that didn't have baseball for years.
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Baltimore and Washington, D.C., so they put Baltimore and D.C. together.
Well, they're close enough, I guess.
Yeah, we used to take the train back to go see... Because there was no baseball in Washington when the Tigers came to play in Baltimore.
Right.
We would go to the old field to see them play.
Well, it's a smaller airport. That Dulles is a mess.
Yeah,
The B.A.C. is a lot better.
Okay. How many do we have left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow,
six,
I'm
kind of
floored. Like, no, Milwaukee. Like, people in Pittsburgh
really
are like, oh, the kielbasa, the dogs, and same thing.
No, someplace in the South,
like
Charleston or.
Well, South Carolina, they put all of South Carolina together. They said this market includes all cities in South Carolina.
Okay.
Okay, so we got that.
What about Florida?
Weird. Florida is not on
Mississippi?
This
list.
No, not Mississippi.
Not Mississippi.
Think big.
Like Dallas or something in Texas?
Yes. Okay, there's two Texas cities. One is Dallas-Fort Worth.
Fort Worth and
Austin? Or
that's where you know.
San Antonio.
No. One more big city in Texas.
And Houston?
Houston, yay. Yeah. And we just had the arrival of Professor Dan the Dapset Man Meshio, who can come in and enjoy a delicious butter tart.
Oh, yummy.
Yum, yummy.
I'm going to read that article you sent me over the...
Yeah, that's cool.
Over the break. I sort of skimmed... I opened it and skimmed it.
Is there more of an article to that? I think it was just an op-ed piece.
Well, that yeah.
There may be more of an article, but...
That's cool.
Let us see the little weens.
Pictures of the twinnies from Erie, PA, his niece and nephew. Were these from the birthday party you went to?
Well, that's a long story. I'll tell you during the break.
Okay. All right, and finally, what are the top 10 hot dog eating stadiums? This is from 2005 from the annual survey.
Is Comerica Park one of them?
Do you know something? I can't believe it. They say no here.
Yankee Stadium.
Okay, Yankee Stadium is number 4.
Wrigley Field.
What's Boston?
Yes,
Boston.
Wrigley Field's number 3.
Fenway?
But Fenway?
No.
Which I cannot believe it.
What's the name of the park in Milwaukee, Dylan? Milwaukee's going to be one of the right answers for one of these things.
No? I don't think so.
Well, how about the L.A. Park?
Dodger Stadium comes in number one. Think of a real kind of weak... Giant Stadium.
How about Atlanta?
No.
Wow.
Which
Cleveland.
Day?
Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
No, not the Cleveland's either.
No?
St. Louis?
Chicago?
No. Okay, we got Wrigley Field down there.
Both
yes.
Chicago's?
Oh, really?
No, I have to admit, some of these, I know we've already mentioned New York, Shea and Yankee, but...
What about the other New York?
Where is the Minute Maid Park now?
Minute Maid, Florida.
Is that Florida?
I think so.
That's the Minute Maid Park?
Is that the Marlins?
Okay, so that gets you. The Hubert Humphrey Metro Dome.
That's in Minneapolis,
St. Paul, okay.
That's kind of odd, I wouldn't think so.
The U.S. Cellular Field, isn't that in
US
Chicago?
U.S. Cellular Field.
I don't know. See, now there's...
You don't know the name of
You don't know
whether
national
anymore.
Products or something. You don't know
I mean,
where
Comerica
they...
Park. No, man. Tiger Stadium told you it was the Detroit Tigers, okay? Like, hook me up.
Or if it's Miller, you know where it's
Yeah,
from,
exactly.
Budweiser Stadium.
Citizens Bank Park. Well, where's that?
Citizens Bank. I have no idea.
I was going to say, what
game is it?
Well, you watch SportsCenter.
Safeco Field?
That's no, and that one I know because you've talked about that park. But
like Pittsburgh is Heinz Field.
Yeah, right.
Makes
I know they're
sense.
Right.
So you go, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but the Heinz is a family name connected to Pittsburgh in that
area,
it
makes
Pennsylvania.
Sense.
But I'll forget it.
I'm not a baseball fan, so so I know like two parks. And
no, but
once
I
guessed Wrigley,
hey, I follow. I like baseball, and I don't even know where Citizens Bank Park is or Edison Field.
Edison,
yeah,
that Edison be in Ohio.
Field. It's not actually legal. From here. I mean, he was up by Port Huron.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Oh no, the Edison's in Monroe. Never mind.
I mean it. But I have no idea where those other three parks are. I couldn't even begin to say.
It's better when the park lets you know
who
the team is or where it is.
Where it is. Okay. So when we think about that, let's take.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Really? Did he give you a discount or a freebie?
No,
or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia? Yeah.
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Yeah. Our next set of questions comes from Kathra. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
Is it from Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles.
Ah.
By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
Even from the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, ooh, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, no.
This is our worst.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll
something.
Do something.
We'll find something.
We'll come and move your furniture.
I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If the answers are wrong, blame readers die.
Well, you come to Detroit, we'll put you on the
nice
show.
Nice that somebody actually cares about
it. That's wonderful.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from March 2006, featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator. Matt Mayo and the current ATP panelists will return next week with more brand new shows. So send us your questions today.
And we're back after finishing up with some questions on hot dog history. We're going to move to just some questions of general trivia from Liz Preston of Livonia, Michigan.
Oh, is this a new...
This is a new person who sent emailed these. Again, though, did not give us any kind of direction as to how many to get right or
they
wrong.
They should modify the website.
I know. I think we're going to have to throw some rules up there. Right. We're going to go with 80%. We'll go with 80%. There are 10 here, so, of course, that means how many
we
do we need?
We have to get at least eight right.
Eight right.
So we're taking the passing grade for graduate work.
That's right. We're doing the passing grade for grad work, and why not? Okay. If you travel directly north from Lima, Peru... Mm-hmm. Until you hit the United States, so you're traveling directly north until you hit the U.S., which of these cities would you come closest to? Phoenix, Houston, New Orleans, or Miami, Florida?
From Peru?
From Peru, from Lima.
I would say New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
It's further west. Wouldn't it be Phoenix? It may be confusing Peru and Chile.
Apparently it's neither because she's
on the coast. Is
she doesn't
that...
know what to say.
What's the other one, Miami? Yeah.
So here are your choices. Phoenix, Houston, New Orleans, or Miami.
We're all wrong.
Miami.
It is Miami.
It is?
Well, yeah, when you think about it, Miami is only 90 miles from Cuba.
Yeah.
But yeah, where the key extends, so if you're flying directly north, the first city that you, American city, you'd come to, because Miami is south of New Orleans.
I'm not picturing where Peru is. I think I'm confusing it with
Chile. It's on the East Coast.
East Coast, isn't it, of South America?
Yeah. I was thinking
West Coast.
Like
Chile.
Oh, okay.
Which is why
I thought Phoenix.
Yeah, that would be one. Mm-hmm.
My bad.
Yeah, but that was interesting because you're right as to where the continent would be laid out. Good going. Okay.
Bad geography, but good reasoning.
In 1939, the New York World's Fair was held, and the English king, escorted his daughter to this event. Name the English king and his daughter at that time.
What year was it?
George VI.
Mm-hmm.
And which, Elizabeth Margaret?
It was Elizabeth.
Yeah.
1908, you said?
No, 1939. So this 39. Is like right before the war. This is where they made this kind of big, it's more like a PR kind of thing, you know, to bring them over. Because I know my mom was a Girl Guide, and they all got on this train to go see the King and Queen of England.
That they next thing we knew, we were in Poland.
Yeah, really. I was going to say, then, yeah, by September 1st, yeah, it's been real. This actor sadly died of AIDS in 1991. He had kept his illness a secret, fearing that he'd not be able to obtain work in Hollywood. He was the star of a 1978 film about an American imprisoned in Turkey for drug smuggling.
Express is the name of the film. Yes, and Brad Davis. Is
Brad Davis, that's it. That's his name, and that's the name of the film. Yeah. I'm sorry, dear? AIDS stands for Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome.
And it's fatal.
And it's a retrovirus. Yeah. So.
It's a disease. You know how when you get a cold that eventually, after a few days, your body sort of fights it off and starts to get better? People who have AIDS, their immune systems break down. So they don't have that ability to recover from like a cold or the flu that the rest of us have.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot cooler treatments now, better treatments now
much
for
better.
People with AIDS. Because sadly, at this time with Mr. Davis in 1991, not a whole lot.
Not a lot of hope.
No, yeah, really. History will recall Reagan did the least of all. Okay, number four.
Well, when you can't even say the word.
I was going to say, like, duh. Hello.
Ketchup's a vegetable, go figure.
That's right. That was another one of his famous. And relish was also, relish also classified as a vegetable? Yeah. In which country were each of these music makers born? Wolfgang Mozart.
That would be Austria.
Yes.
Austria.
Frederick Chopin.
Poland.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence Welk, 1, 2,
France?
And 3.
Here.
Yeah, he was born in the U.S. Actually, it was one of the Dakotas, wasn't it?
It was north
of his nationality, though? Because he had that accent.
Flat Midwestern twang, though, right?
But it kind of sounded...
I thought he had a bit of an accent.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe. He was a total polka-dot.
Well, he had a little nasalness.
That's why I guess France.
So, do you still watch the reruns of the Lawrence Welk show?
No, I do not.
Guy and Rolna.
Oh, no. But I know that I think it's on Channel 56, they show them.
They still show them.
They do. A lady at church that I take shopping will always talk about. They had a lovely rerun of Lawrence Welk on. They had the Lennon sisters on. And I got to be really careful not to pull my car out into traffic without looking when she says things like that. I know. 60% of the people at a party are males, and 60% of the females are there with their husbands. What percentage of the people are males who are not married to any of these women?
36.
Whoa, Dan, you did that. Okay, now how did you figure that out?
Because Boats is in here because he's pressuring me.
I was actually thinking 30% that it would be.
Because I took 24% of 40. No, it took 60% of 40. 60% of the... What percent of the females brought their husbands?
60.
So 60% of 40 is 24%.
Okay.
And then those are part of the 60% of the men that you originally quoted.
Uh-huh.
So you take those 24% from the 60% and you get 36%.
Dan, you are so smart.
That's right off an SAT exam.
That explains my score.
Me too. I was just sitting here like in the land of dead air hoping for you to get it.
I think we all had opened our passport to the land of dead air at that point in time. The Coptic religion is a Christian minority found mostly in which non-Christian...
Egypt.
Yeah, Coptic as in C-O-P-T-I-C. I want to make sure I enunciate that. Okay. The Attorney General is the head of what governmental department or agency?
Justice.
Yeah.
Miss Justice?
Well, you know.
Justice. Blind justice.
Some people have different ideas about blind justice or the statue regarding justice. If you remember our former Attorney General, Mr. Ashcroft. Yes.
He spent $8,000 of taxpayer money to cover up the breasts on Lady Justice.
Yes. You know, that holds the scales. So, yeah, he wanted to make sure that nobody was getting a flash scene going on. So, yes. Yes. Yeah, I know. Dead interesting.
Well, and one of the best parts of Fahrenheit 9/11 is when he was running for elected office in his home state. He was running against a dead guy, and the dead guy won.
Right, that was sadly the governor.
Voters preferred the dead guy.
Man, that's right. Yeah. The dead
you ever,
guy won.
You ever listen to this comedian Lewis Black?
Oh, Back in Black?
He's awesome. My fate. But anyway, there's this little spiel about we should dig. If I say this, I might offend people. They should dig Reagan up and put him in the next presidential election because it'll scare everybody if we elect a dead president. Nobody will want to mess with us anymore.
That's a good idea.
The one we should pick is Reagan.
Yeah, well, you know.
If you have to hear him say it, because only he can.
Yeah, he has
I like Coleman. You used to call him old prune face.
That was an old prune face. Good old Coleman. Which is why we got cut off, like, totally from federal aid programs for how many years?
I made up for voting for Reagan by voting for Dukakis.
Okay, so. You did. That's definitely penitence.
Drew and I have Lewis Black's book, Nothing Sacred. I'll have to bring it in.
That's a cool book.
He's really funny. He cracks me up.
Which U.S. state has the largest percentage of non-English-speaking residents? In fact, it comes in, it's 36% of their residents do not speak English.
Texas or California.
California, New York, or Florida.
No, I was surprised by this, too. I would have totally gone with Florida, having vacationed in South Beach for how many years, and I'm wishing I would have taken Spanish.
Arizona?
Well, close to there.
New Mexico.
That's it. It's New Mexico.
That was in between.
Because there's a lot of debate. I was in Arizona last year, and there's a lot of debate about a lot of the issues.
Really?
Of people coming in, and why are we going to fund this, and, you know, the education. You know, it's just kind of a mess.
Goodness.
Yeah.
But, you know, for how many years did we say, come on, migrant workers, come on over and work our fields kind of thing, you know? I mean, gosh.
So we can pay you very little money and no benefits.
Yeah, but come on down.
That's right.
St. Patrick is responsible, by myth or legend, for converting the Irish to Christianity. When did he perform this act?
Like
1500?
It's
500 AD.
Like that was a pure guess. No clue.
That's okay, because we have the green holiday coming up shortly. So.
And he got rid of all the snakes.
That's right. Yes. Well, most
of them. I
thought
that was the Pied Piper.
No, he's the rats. That bag of weasels in that way, yes. Who were the last five major party candidates that have lost the election to be president of the United States?
Well, John Kerry.
We know John Kerry,
but technically he didn't lose.
Well, right.
Then
Al Gore.
Before that was poor.
And technically
he didn't lose.
Poor Al Gore.
Uh-huh.
And
then it would have been
before that.
Bush won.
Bush won.
Bush Senior. Then Dukakis lost to Bush Senior.
You mean just won in 96?
The first Clinton.
You've got 88 with Dukakis. You got 92 with Bush.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole. Bob Dole.
Talking about himself in the third person all the time. I love
that. Yeah, Bob Dole doesn't lie.
Except, you know, I never would have expected him to have such a good sense of humor
himself.
He's
hysterical to think that. Yeah, okay. Really. Well, Liz, thank you for those questions. Even though they were 10, they were pretty cool.
They were good.
They were good and kind of all over interesting.
They were interesting.
Well, let me thank our panel, Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Kurtzinger.
I'll feed you same.
Visiting Professor Kurtzinger.
Bye.
Bye. And Professor Maggio.
Bye-bye.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Studios at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, witnessed, and chaperoned by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host. Let's go Titans in that tournament.
And we're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.